You're listening to DraftKings Network.
If you like to make your NFL games a little bit more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. It is the Even Money Podcast. We are, of course, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Make sure whenever you're over there at the DK Sportsbook, you're using the code Ross. There's always discounts for you, so you might as well take advantage of it, especially if you are a new customer. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years. Most of you know that. Got several media gigs now. I do the Eagles preseason games on TV. Then during the year, I'm doing NFL and college games for CBS on TV, Westwood One on radio, and have a pretty cool podcast network, Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily during the season, 3 times a week here in the offseason. Thought Greg Cosell was excellent, giving me his thoughts on the first round of the NFL draft on yesterday's show. Emory Hunt, that's all we talk about, is the NFL draft on the College Draft Podcast. Although, as we get into the season, Emory and I will also make picks against the spread for the biggest games in college football. Check me out on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. Love those of you that follow us, at Ross Tucker Pod, on any platform you're on. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, it does not matter. More and more people checking us out on YouTube every week. You get to see Steve. He's at the perfect weight now. His hair looks great. He got a new video camera in his home office. YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Of course, I'm talking about the one and only Steve Fezzik. Listen, here's all you need to know about Steve. Follow him on social media, at Fezzik Sports. He's very opinionated, which I appreciate. Secondly, pregame.com. That's the only place you can ever find him and see what his bets are in the other sports and things that we don't talk about as much here on this show. At Fezzik Sports and only at Fezzik Sports, pregame.com. By the way, Steve, I realize I'm doing it right from the start here. We're going to get into the NFL draft and your thoughts on it from a betting perspective, from a after the draft season win total perspective. But I think 2 weeks ago, I said that you had a huge week one bet that you loved, and then we never got to it that day, and then I forgot about it last week with Evan Silva. So we got to start with this. You have an NFL week one bet that you feel really good about that I want to give out. Let's start this show with a bang. What is it, Steve?
So this is my South America game of the year. We're going to go to Sao Paulo. Green Bay, Philly. Ross, let me ask you, are you going to be on the sidelines in Sao Paulo for week one, Philadelphia?
Do not have my schedule yet. No idea. I would say probably unlikely, but don't have my schedule yet.
Very good. I think Sao Paulo is like the 10th, one of the 10th largest cities in the world, population-wise, that nobody knows about, but it's in Brazil. I'm going under the 50, Green Bay, Philadelphia. Bridge too far. 50 in the new NFL where defenses are bend, don't break, don't give up the big plays. So even when a team scores, oftentimes they misuse of the word, but teams have to matriculate down the field in order to score while the clock is running. And NFL week one and two historically have been the lowest scoring of all the weeks. Given all that, I don't see any way we can deal a 50 on this game, despite Green Bay being a dead nut over team, going under the 50, Green Bay, Philadelphia in Sao Paulo.
Nice. I love it. You know, you got to also think, I mean, I don't know what, if there's any altitude concerns there. I don't know. I just, that is a long flight. Has there been a track record, Steve, for over under on the London games, you know, or the Europe games?
Well, what happened for a while, the soccer field conditions were poor and the scoring wasn't so high. And then they improved upon that. And I think it's been much more 50-50 of late. No altitude problems in that game. But just the excessive travel. You know, I took like the palm of my hand and I estimated the distance to get to from, you know, northern U.S. to Sao Paulo. It's about the same as flying to the Ukraine. So you don't have to worry about time zone differences, but it is indeed a very long travel.
Yeah, that's a long flight. I didn't realize last summer we went to the Galapagos Islands. I didn't realize how far, what is it? How far east South America is, you know?
Yes.
I mean, we were on the west coast of South America in Galapagos Islands, and it was not that far west. I was not aware. We were only like an hour behind, I think.
I don't know why Columbus didn't discover Brazil before he discovered America. I know you have to go a long way south. You get my point, though. Yes.
I agree. All right, let's talk about the draft, Steve. And let's talk about the draft first from a betting perspective. We had the last couple of weeks, John Daigle, Evan Silva. Evan had said a week ago, it's his most profitable event every year. And so I'm curious how it played out for you this year, Steve.
So my draft bets were extremely limited, but I actually did quite well, ranging from the ridiculous. I got to bet Caleb Williams, risk 100 to win a dollar the day before the draft. So I was basically betting the mortality risk along with the crime risk of him being arrested or the injury risk of like something happening to him, kind of like Dirty Harry in the Deadpool. And he survived, so that was good. But in all seriousness, one of the most profitable things was the quarterbacks. The movement on Penix and on Nix, both these dudes, unclear whether they would go in the first round. Over under, and both players like 32.5. By a day and a half before the draft, money was pouring in on both dudes to go in the first round. So quarterbacks over 4.5 was one bet that I made against some slow-moving books. Basically, I took advantage of slow-moving books and did very well with some late information, including Daniels really steamed up to go number two, and I caught some slow-moving books to get Daniels to go two. So I did well and got a couple of good tips from some other people about things like Spencer Rattler going late in the draft. None of it really widely available. It's hard, Ross. There's so few places dealing the draft. You know, the Westgate here used to be like one of the book in Vegas, and it's fallen on hard times. And like they put up draft picks on Monday, and they're up on Monday morning, Monday night. Where are they? Not up anymore. The Hall of Fame bookmakers in Las Vegas, they don't want anything to do with this draft. They don't win on it. So the limits have been slashed and the menu has been slashed.
That's really interesting. It makes sense, right? I mean, if people like Evan Silva are saying it's his most profitable event every year, he can't be the only one feeling that way. Although I will say this, Steve, I don't know. I can't remember if we talked about it last week or not, but I definitely posted on social media that like 30-some percent of the bets on the number one overall pick had been on Marvin Harrison Jr. And then there were bets on Shedeur Sanders and Quinn Ewers to be number one overall. They weren't even in the draft. And so obviously those were picks, long shots that people made during the season. But that seems like the most profitable aspect of this for the sports books is the people trying to take long shots during the college season on some of these things.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing, the bookmakers, it's like the captain of the Titanic. They have 30 years booking experience that are going to cause them to crash into icebergs. Because what do I mean by that? I mean, you know, Steve Fezzik bets something on a draft pick, for instance. Well, let's say I bet an NBA game, all right? And I bet a team -4.5. They should move it to -5 or -4.5, lay $1.18. They don't have to make a big adjustment because those lines are probably close to being correct. Nothing could be further from the truth in terms of the draft. So like Circa Sports, they understand that. If I make a bet on the draft at -110 at Circa, they're just going to move it to -145 and move the other side to +115. And they're not going to screw around. They're going to like, we're going to get a bet back on the other direction because we're not going to get that situation where it snowballs and they get hit five straight times on the same side because they're moving so slowly. And that's why, you know, books that don't understand this, I won't call it out anyone by name. I don't want to embarrass the South Point here in Las Vegas. They don't even deal the draft because their bookmakers lack the competence to know how to deal it.
Wow. I feel like these sports books should maybe hire you or someone like you to teach them how to deal some of these.
It's almost like the way a sports books, you know, this is kind of, I'm going to pull back the curtain. Sports books hate sharps that beat them. They hate us to the point of, it would almost be like I'm trying to think of an analogy how they view us. It would be like the LAPD, you know, hiring a criminal to show them how to, like, curb crime. Just not going to happen.
It should. That's exactly what they should do. That'd be a great way to go about it. Do you, you and I were texting, Steve, you don't watch the draft.
I watch, like, the top 15 picks more to see if I'm going to win my bets. And I'm like, please don't take the LSU wide receiver. Please don't take him number 17. You know, but the as far as the value, I mean, it's fine to have it on in the background, but I don't have 3 days to, like, screw around, drink beer, and watch the draft and have a good time. I mean, I'm making baseball bets. I'm betting NBA. I'm betting season wins in the MLB. There's so many different things that you can make money on right now. I don't have time to just, like, sit back. The same thing with the Masters. Some people just sit back and watch a couple days of the Masters. It's very rare that I can just be a casual fan other than when I attend a game in person, and then I'll put away my phone and my computer and just enjoy it. Other than that, it's very rare. I just watch something for fun.
You know what I do for fun? Eat burgers. Omaha Steaks Pure Ground Burgers deliver an explosive combination. Tenderness, juiciness, and unmatched quality. And right now, you can experience the burger perfection flight for just $79.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. Five generations of family-owned expertise means uncompromising quality you can trust. Get ready for grilling season. It's here. I was grilling out last weekend with the burger perfection flight for just $79.99 when you shop omahasteaks.com. That's 20 mouth-watering, pure ground burgers for just $79.99. Get ready for a rich and juicy handheld steak with mic-dropping flavor. Every Omaha Steaks Pure Ground Burger is made from a single cut of mouth-watering, perfectly aged steak, guaranteed to deliver an explosive combo, tenderness, juiciness, unmatched quality, and every purchase is backed by their unconditional money-back guarantee. Steve, you can't even contemplate grilling out burgers and not drinking some Labatt Blue Lights while you're doing so. It's like one goes with the other. Labatt Blue Lights, absolutely delicious. Always enjoy them responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Okay. This is the one I wanted to ask you about, Steve. Let's talk. I'm curious about your opinion in general and then your opinion in terms of betting them. Right? The Atlanta Falcons, the clear favorites in the NFC South. I think when I looked this morning, they're minus 130. The Bucs have the second strongest odds at plus 300. The season win total for the Falcons, 9.5. For the Bucs, 8.5. So it's a full game spread between those two. They took Michael Penix Jr., a quarterback, number 8 overall, after giving Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed over his first 3 seasons. So before we even get to how this impacts you as a bettor, just your thoughts on the Falcons' decision.
All right, I want to throw the Raiders under the bus as well. So remember when the Raiders took Leatherwood in the draft and it was like, they're like, they took this guy way, way too early. If you are an organization that doesn't win Super Bowls, that doesn't excel at this, that is not feared by your competitors. You have to play basic strategy. You have to basically look at where players are projected to be, and you can't deviate greatly from it and do unusual things. If you're an organization that has a long history of winning and success, you're the New England Patriots, you're Bill Belichick, you can go ahead and vary from basic strategy. The Atlanta Falcons cannot do that. So they cannot do something that everyone else says, boy, you're stupid to do this, because you have a long history of doing stupid things. And so because of that, I like the idea of buying lottery tickets on quarterbacks. It makes a lot of sense, but not when the lottery ticket cost me a number 8 pick in the draft, and I could have gotten Odunze or a really good or the best defender in the draft. Instead, I just piss away a draft pick this year that isn't going to help my team at all unless Cousins gets hurt. So I thought it was incredibly stupid. It's like in blackjack. If Steve Fezzik wants to double down on ace 8 against a 4, the count's probably really good and it's a good play. If you're an average blackjack player and you get your ace 8, your 19 against a 4, you look at your chart, it says stand, and you stand. You don't deviate from basic strategy. So a dumbbell move by Atlanta, bonus pick, Atlanta Falcons, under 9.5 wins plus money. I like it.
Ooh, okay. So you're liking the under now. Now, is that directly as a result of this draft choice, or were you already leaning that way? Did they start out 10.5? They started out 10.5, didn't they?
Yeah, I already liked it. All right. And they started out under 10.5 plus money. I'm sorry, minus money, and now under 9.5 plus money. So basically 10, or close to it. And how much did this pick cost them? Well, they could have gotten a dude that would have been worth 0.5 point per game, probably as an upgrade, right? They play 17 games, that's 8.5 points. That's a quarter of a win, approximately. So they just donked off a quarter of a win this year by not taking a dude that could help them. So whatever their number was, if their number should have been 9.5, now it should be 9.25. I thought their number should have been 9.25. So now make it 9 and I can get under 9.5 plus money. Good bet.
You know, I mean, the really crazy thing, Steve, is that the Saints and the Raiders reportedly really wanted to trade up in order to get Penix. So the Falcons could have traded to 13 or 14, okay, gotten a king's ransom, and still gotten the number one defensive player in the draft. Gotten Latu coming off the edge. I mean, it's really unbelievable to me when you think about it. I'm actually going to write about it from a player's perspective for my article for the 33rd team this week. You know, you also texted me, Steve, that you like the Bears over 8.5. Tell me about that.
So this is the classic example of the good story. I'll use an example. I think last year the Eagles started out at 10.5 on season wins, and everyone really liked what they were doing during the offseason, and they got as high as 11.5. And they fiddled in the middle and landed 11. If you bet the Eagles over early enough, you actually won, despite their collapse. If you bet them under at post, you won. I'm going to predict the same thing happens with the Bears. So the Bears, the good story is, oh, look at the Bears. They're as good at quarterback with Caleb as they were with Fields. And now a team that for a long time didn't have any wide receivers is now awash in wide receivers. Odunze is going to be the number 3. You know, Keenan Allen and Moore are situated there. So Williams with all those weapons, Swift at running back. The Bears were a surging team last year. Bottom line is they get a last place schedule, so they get to play 3 cupcakes, Carolina, New England, and Washington. Blue Horseshoe loves the Bears over 8.5, Ross. Minus 140 at DraftKings, lock me in right now. Bold prediction, we'll be questioning whether to go 9.5 on the Bears, maybe with a little vig to the under, come 5 minutes before the season starts.
Steve, we've been doing this show a long time, and you always bet against rookie quarterbacks. You hate rookie quarterbacks. You always take the under for rookie quarterbacks and teams that draft rookie quarterbacks. Now you're deviating.
I am. And I think, you know, smart people have told me I'm a little bit too biased against rookie quarterbacks, but all rookie quarterbacks are not created equal. You know, I would argue Caleb Williams is probably the fourth or fifth highest expected rated quarterback in like the past 10 years. You know, I mean, he's not Andrew Luck, but he's certainly, you know, on par, you know, with where we expected maybe a Burrow, you know, would be, and where, you know, comparable, you know, top picks would be. So I put him in a totally different category than Jaden Daniels or Drake May, by example.
Interesting. Okay. What about the other teams that did it? What about the Vikings with J.J. McCarthy, the Broncos with Bo Nix? Are you just hammering the under on these teams or what?
You know, it's interesting because I heard something about Bo Nix. I'm sure you heard this, that like he, when he packed his bag, it had like nothing but like football equipment in it. You know, when he went to the, you know, his first meetings. And that's my kind of guy, you know, a gym rat, a guy that wants to learn and the like. My kind of guy is not a flashy guy that spends his entire draft going to tailors to get the best possible jacket to look cool. I actually think the better you look on draft night, Ross, I think that's a predictor for failure because it shows what's important to you. You know, it's a bit more, I'd rather look great and fail than just like, you know, go in and be focused. So, I'm kind of high on Bo Nix, but I'm not competent to, you know, go through the X's and O's, look at the videos and assess how good the players actually are going to be. I'm much more looking towards attitude and how hardworking they're going to be. You're not going to succeed in the NFL. I wanted to ask you about this. How complicated is it to be a quarterback in the NFL? It seems like it's insanely complicated based upon what I saw in the when I saw the quarterbacks, Cousins, etc., and Mariota studying in the documentary.
Very, very complicated. Way more than people. It's like combining a foreign language, learning a foreign language, with playing chess, in which all 11 pieces can be moving concurrently on the chessboard. Think about
that,
Steve. Yeah. You're learning a foreign language while the 11 pieces of the chessboard are moving around concurrently. Now, listen, some coaches do a much better job than others of simplifying things for some of these guys. There is no question, but you can't make it that simple. You know, like if you make it too simple, you're putting yourself at a schematic disadvantage from the other teams. I know you said you had an NBA play as well, Steve, which doesn't happen very often. I think you said you like the Cavs. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so classic zig, zig, zag. Cleveland's better than Orlando. Cleveland wins their first two games at home comfortably. Then they get whacked. Games 3 and 4 in Orlando. So we're staring at 2-2. And here we go, game 5. I'm confident Cleveland's going to win game 5. I laid 4.5 myself. I laid minus 185. It's getting hard to find -4.5. It's the rare situation where even at -5, I would bet Cleveland. Bold prediction, Cleveland by 14 tonight, Ross.
Got it. Love it. The last question I have for you, it relates back to the draft. You and I were texting back and forth. You said what matters is the relative value of the draft picks you have, not who you draft. What do you mean?
Yeah. So by example, like everyone's trying to assess who did the Bears take, you know, in the fourth round, and is the punter a good pick? I don't care. All I care about is how many picks you have and are they good picks? So they talk about how they've solved this equation that the number one pick in the draft is worth a certain number of points. The number 18 pick is worth a certain number of points. And I would just add that all up. So the cumulative value of your draft picks, I don't believe in trying to predict whether this is a hit or a miss and whether it's a good pick or a bad pick. The teams that have the most value in terms of the most draft picks and the most good slots are the teams that, for the most part, other than quarterback, are going to have the best draft because no one knows. We just don't know how these guys are going to pan out. And so the relative value of the draft is what I always look towards, not who you actually took.
Unfortunately, we don't have time to get to any email questions today, but we will next week. Man, there are some awesome email questions that you have sent in. keep sending them in. Ross at rostucker.com. As a reminder, if you take advantage of any of our sponsors that you hear on the show, or you get somebody for Mother's Day, a story from myfrontpagestory.com, you automatically go to the top of the list, which is amazing. He's at Fezzik Sports. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Other than that, good luck, everybody. Hope you guys win some money.
Thanks for tuning in to Even Money. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.